sin is lawlessness. It's the transgression of the law, or it is lawlessness. The man of God, the godly man, stands against lawless living.
That was Dr. Doug McLaughlin, our speaker on Living Redemptively, a daily program featuring messages from God's Word designed to help you have an authentic walk with the living God. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and has also served as a Bible college and seminary professor, and has traveled around the world speaking at pastors and educators conferences. We invite you to join us now as Dr. Doug McLaughlin shares today's lesson.
If you have your Bibles, I invite you to look with me at Psalm 1. Share some thoughts from this great and very familiar passage of Scripture. The psalmist says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away." Not like the tree which withstands the wind. "They're like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." Marks of godliness is the title I would like to give to the analysis of the first three verses of Psalm 1. The first psalm is, in a very real sense, a distillation, a summary of the very essence of all the Psalms, because it describes man as God intended for him to be, particularly in the first half of the psalm, and defines the consequences of failing to be that in the second half of the psalm. Like the Sermon on the Mount in the New Testament documents, this hymn begins with the word blessed. And then it goes on to show how blessedness and godliness are inseparably bound together. There is no blessedness in our life unless there's a godliness. And it seems to me that's very clearly laid out in this first psalm. The plural form of the word blessed, you don't see it in the English translation, but in the Hebrew Old Testament, it's a plural form. And the plural form of the word blessed is indicative of the multiplicity, the superabundance of the blessings that come into the life of the one who possesses a right relationship with God. Discerning the true marks of godliness can be a powerful help. It's all right for a moment to look inward. You don't want to do it too long, it gets very depressing, but for a moment to look inward. And then to look upward into the face of the Lord and to confess our sins. So God, in His infinite wisdom and love, has provided for us gentle reminders at various places in the Word, gentle reminders of His principles and His standards in Scripture. And He calls upon us to examine ourselves in the light of those reminders. And one of those reminders is right here in Psalm 1. And for us, who are the people of God, who know the Lord Jesus Christ, verses 1 to 3 has a very relevant message for us in Psalm 1. Every one of us should be a people, an individual, a person. Every one of us should be deeply committed to living out our lives in a context of true godliness. We should be deeply committed to living out our lives in a context of true godliness. I'd like you to notice with me for a few moments three facets of a godly man's life in this psalm. And I would hope that you're deeply committed on a very practical basis, understanding what it means to be a man of God, what it means to be a woman of God, what it means to latch onto God's spiritual principles revealed in Scripture and then abide by them. Three facets of a godly man's life in verses 1 to 3. First of all, we have what the man of God opposes, and that's in verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. And the psalmist says there is a negative dimension to godliness. It isn't all positives. There is a negative dimension to godliness. It's clearly stated. The things the man of God does not do in verse 1. What the man of God opposes. And then secondly, what the man of God embraces. And that's in verse 2. And what he embraces is the Word of God, and he appreciates it and he appropriates it. And that's clearly defined for us right there in verse 2. And then finally, what the man of God expresses in verse 3. He should be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. And really, there are six things in that verse that the man of God expresses. Consequently, what he is negatively, verse 1, what he is positively, verse 2, what he is consequently, in verse 3. Now let's look at these for just a moment. First of all, what the man of God opposes. And David could say that the man of God opposes three things. These are very familiar verses and difficult to be original, and we come to a familiar passage like this, and yet this is the kind of familiarity that does not breed contempt. This is a precious psalm. What the man of God opposes. David could say that he opposes three things. Number one, he opposes godless thinking. Number two, he opposes lawless living. And number three, he opposes careless speaking. He's not a scorner. He doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful. He's not a scoffer. One, he opposes godless thinking, man's mold of thought. And it means that he's separated from ungodly advice. He walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. You know where a man turns, particularly when he's in need. Where a man turns for help is often an indication of his character and his faith. One man turns to a local bar. Another man turns to a reader or a fortune teller. Perhaps he pays to have his horoscope cast. It goes on all around the city in our world. Another man turns to drugs or to sex. And all of these things constitute the counsel of the ungodly. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. The Christian does not do this, David says. The psalmist says. It may be David, it doesn't state it so. To the godly man, the psalmist says, in principle at least, you could say it prophetically, to the godly man, Jesus Christ is the supreme counselor. He does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. He turns his face fully up into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he derives his wisdom and his insights in the difficult and delicate situations of life from Jesus Christ. He is prepared to say with the apostle Peter, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou, and thou alone, thou hast the words of eternal life. John 6. In verse 68, in a world filled with apocalyptic gurus and ayatollahs who are as insane as their prescriptions and their predictions, the Christian is the man who turns to the wisdom of God revealed in the pages of Scripture and thinks God's thoughts after him. The Christian is the man who refuses to take the advice of the wicked in the conduct of life. He walketh not in the counsel, the advice, the mold of thought of the world or of the ungodly man. He opposes godless thinking. Secondly, he opposes lawless living. He says, secondly, not only does he not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, but he does not stand in the way of sinners. He opposes godless thinking. He opposes lawless living. Not only man's mold of thought, but man's manner of living. He's separated not only from ungodly advice, he's also separated from ungodly activities. He does not stand in the way of sinners. Sin, by the way, is the transgression of the law, 1 John 3 and verse 4. More precisely, the Greek word is anomia. Sin is lawlessness. It's the transgression of the law, or it is lawlessness. The man of God, the godly man, stands against lawless living. He does not stand in the way of lawlessness. To stand with someone, by the way, means to adopt their worldview, their view of life, and it means to share in their way of life. David says the Christian, or the psalmist says the Christian is the man who stands with the Lord. He stands with the Lord, and he stands against the godless. He stands against the lawless. He refuses to conform to the deviant example and the disgusting behavior of the man who deliberately, that's what it means to be a sinner, kata is the Hebrew word, the man who deliberately violates the divine law. That's what it means to be a sinful individual. He does not think like the ungodly, the psalmist says, and he does not act like the sinner. He opposes godless thinking, he opposes lawless living, and finally he opposes careless speaking. Nor does he sit in the seat of the scornful. Not only does he repudiate man's mold of thought and man's manner of life, but he also repudiates man's malignancy of speech. Not only is he separated from ungodly advice and ungodly activities, he's also separated from ungodly attacks against sacred things. That's what it means, by the way, to be a scoffer or a scorner. He does not sit in the seat of the scorner. The scoffer or the scorner in Scripture is the man who possesses an arrogant and a cynical contempt. He's the man who mocks at sacred things. Whatever is holy and true, whatever is pure and clean, he makes that to be the subject of frivolous jesting. He makes a joke of it. He mocks at the sacred things. I tell you, that can be an infectious thing. I've seen it happen in youth groups, those who mock the sacred things, infection in the youth group. And it could be so in a New Testament local church. It can happen among us who are adults as well. The infection of an irreverence for the things that are sacred. You study the scoffer or the scorner in the book of Proverbs, you learn that he turns out to be the arrogant, cynical, unteachable, troublemaker, who resents and refuses all discipline and godly counsel. Every one of those are terms that you can find, principles that you can find, identifications that you can find of the scorner and the scoffer in the book of Proverbs. He is the arrogant, cynical, unteachable troublemaker who resents and refuses all discipline and godly counsel. The psalmist says, how blessed is the man who sits not down in his seat. As before, the godly man would not think like the ungodly nor act like the sinner, so now he will not commune or fellowship with the scorner. The psalmist begins by telling us what the man of God opposes. He says there is a negative dimension to godliness. In a world that is strung out on positives, every one of us needs to realize that. There is a negative dimension to godliness. There are certain things we do not do. There are certain things that we oppose, and we're perfectly prepared to say that we oppose them. The psalmist says he opposes godless thinking, the mold of thought of this world. He opposes lawless living, the manner of life of this world. And he opposes careless speaking, the speech of the scorner, the malignancy of speech, which characterizes this world. But then he tells us what the man of God embraces, not only what the man of God opposes, but what the man of God embraces. And he says that in verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. In a word, that which the man of God embraces is the word of God. He repudiates the world and he rejoices in the word. He says no to the world and he says yes to the word of God. And he immerses himself in the living and dynamic principles of Scripture.
Thank you for listening to today's edition of Living Redemptively with Dr. Doug McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin served as the senior pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. For more information on Fourth Baptist, visit their website at fourthbaptist.org. That's fourthbaptist.org. Living Redemptively is produced in partnership with Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you'd like to receive a copy of all the messages in this series, or if you have any questions about what you've heard, we invite you to contact Living Redemptively at P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. Or call area code 671-477-6341, extension 360. That's area code 671-477-6341, extension 360. You can also download this program in a daily podcast. Learn more at hbcguam.net. That's hbcguam.net. Finally, if you'd like to email Living Redemptively, send email to khmg@hbcguam.net. Thank you for listening today, and be sure to tune in for the next edition of Living Redemptively, helping you to live an authentic Christian life.